What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hear that? It's the sound of someone whacking the ground with a rake. Specifically, they're beating around the bush, which we've done enough of in this ad too, so let's get right to it. The new Moneymaker scratch-off from the Ohio Lottery doesn't beat around the bush. Moneymaker. Play the game and you could win money. Up to $2 million. With more than $88 million in prizes, ranging from $50 to $500, Moneymaker cuts right to the cash. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Harpsichord?
Maybe I didn't even realize what we were going to be starting with.
Playing harpsichord, playing.
Welcome to the AfterBuzz Hannibal After Show. That's not a harpsichord. That's actually just a piano. I don't know what the hell that is, but here we are. I'm Joe Braswell. Thanks for joining us. I'm joined by the lovely Dua Casey.
Hi, welcome everybody.
Hi, Dua.
Hi.
I missed you last week.
I know, I was gone. I'm very sorry. I like your maroon, though. I like we're both dressed in Hannibal red.
Yeah, this is a cashmere sweater. It's not a black t-shirt like I normally wear, like a shirt. But well, I threw some color on today.
Yeah, there was a lot of color rolling around this episode.
Yeah, in the form of slow motion blood.
Yeah, I liked your expression. The whole episode was like this. It was like, ugh. Like
this episode got to me.
Yeah.
I will say, we're actually joined by in the booth by Stephen Lemieux, and
sup. I have not seen this episode yet.
Okay, right. So I want to, but I just want to say because you were injected into our Hannibal world last week, and so
yes,
we're still all talking about you. Some people hate you, some people love you, but we all love you.
You know, you can hate me all you want.
Oh my God.
I sincerely like the show.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But with every good show, there's always criticism to some points.
Yes.
And I want the show to prove me wrong in the end.
Right. Yeah.
I want to watch this whole season and be like, holy crap, I was completely wrong.
Well, you know,
but you're watching as a viewer every week watching an episode, there's criticism to the show. And I feel that I'll make my argument. I could be wrong. I could be right. You know what? It doesn't matter. Everyone has their own opinion.
Yeah. Listen. A lot of people agree with you. Flippo agreed with you. Flippo got a lot of like, yeah, Flippo, you and Lemieux are right. So I respect both of your opinions on this. I hear what you're saying. I'm of the opinion it's a 13-hour movie. I kind of like the junk, mm-hmm. but I totally understand. You know what you're talking about. Before I do want to say we do not have Joe Sanfilippo.
Yes.
And we do not have Julia Carely.
Julia is off doing fun things.
Fun things that you'll see later down the road, which
that we can't talk about.
Joe Filippo is doing things that we can't talk about because he's Joe Filippo and he's at his home doing it in the privacy of his own home.
He looks to be CIA, that man.
And we continue. So you were going to say something about the...
Well, I was just going to say, it's like I was telling Steven earlier, is that a lot of his points, you know, he had valid points. But, you know, this episode that I watched, I think that they were doing a lot of setup. A lot of what they do is very artistic, and a lot mm-hmm. of people will maybe say it's a little slow. If you've been with Hannibal from the beginning and you've really developed a relationship with these characters, then you're willing to go on that ride. This episode, though, I think unfolded a lot. We had a lot of reunions this episode. We saw a lot of people meeting. There was a lot of blood spilled. There was a lot of really exciting stuff that happened that I think this was the episode that we've been waiting for. I think you would have loved it, Steven.
Yeah, it's good. I disagree with you on that. I don't know that this is the episode that we've been waiting for. I think it was actually closer to what Steven's been talking about in terms of just a lot of more of the symbolism.
Wait a minute. What are you talking about? We saw the reunion of Jack and Will. We saw the reunion of Will and Hannibal. We saw Bedelia's end game on how she plans to get out of this, which was very clever. We saw Haiku Chio. Haiku Chio, you know, get really bad. She, you know, blowing some bullets up. Throw some blows. She, you know, she was in there. I think that there was a lot of good stuff this
episode. There's a lot of good stuff that happened. I guess the point that I'm making is that I think that there was a lot of, you know, my guy Vincenzo Natalia directed this episode too. Is that Vincenzo Natalia? Vincenzo.
Yeah, and we saw some girl-on-girl action. This episode had everything.
Action-packed.
Action-packed
episode. But I think Vincenzo, who did the first two or three episodes, did this one as well. I think he's fantastic. We call it that kid with his, he's very good at this sort of, you know, horror symbolism stuff. And I think in this episode, he really, I thought initially when we watched it, the first thing we saw was the slow motion blood drop, like in slow motion, then come back up and blood. And I thought like, Lemieux and Flippo are just gonna have a field day with this one.
Yep.
You know, and then there was that, and then there's more of that. And then we see, you know, Hannibal walking through Florence and Morris kind of slow motion shots, and we like slow motion sutures, and then him getting, you know, Bedelia cutting the sutures,
and then that cutting the body down, and
cutting, you know, poor Potsy down.
That was a great transition, the cutting of the suture to the cutting of the body.
This is my point. Yeah. All that stuff is just visually wonderful. Now, how does that translate into, you know, popcorn eating, you know, good Thursday night television? You know, you can argue that is a little slow and it is a little hitting you overhead with all that stuff. But on the other hand, you know, it's very well done and very beautiful. Mm-hmm. I say that.
Yeah.
I just want to give a couple. And that, obviously, there was the wonderful, the extremely well done love scene between Margot and Alana, which was a shocker in many, many ways. It was a shocker that it was even happening.
I'm going to call it the left field love scene.
Well, it was a shocker that it was happening. It was a shocker that, like, it went on for a while. Mm-hmm. It's pretty sexy, but also very inventive in the way that they did it.
That I'm
like,
kaleidoscope.
The kaleidoscope, and then the two of them sort of, like, looking. I'm like, what am I looking at? Am I seeing? Is that a side boot? What is?
Yeah.
And then, you know. It was
just a lot of skin. It was very interesting with the, you know, the music in the background. It was very like a Kama Sutra type of music. And the whole time I'm thinking, what episode did I miss where they were? And this was completely out of left field. They've been apparently in cahoots the whole time.
Cahoots. I love that word.
They're cahooting.
They're cahooting. They're cahooting. All right.
They're cahooting.
They're cahooting all over the place.
Yeah.
Let me tell you. But I really enjoyed that. I enjoyed it. I'm not going to lie. I liked it all for all the reasons.
Mm-hmm.
I'm supposed to like it. It worked for me. And I also really loved the last dinner scene with Will and before Jack arrived at the Will and Hannibal dinner scene where they're...
Yeah, it was
when
sweet.
When he's trying to drug, they had that weird shot at Hannibal where he's like... morphed into Will a little bit, and that was kind of weird.
It was like from Will's point of view, where he's looking at Hannibal, but he's looking at himself being Hannibal, feeding himself. So it was very. I guess that's what it's like when you're on drugs.
Yeah, apparently. So before we get into this episode, I want to talk about what I think Brian Fuller and Stephen Lightfoot have done with this episode in terms of really, so we already know that we're in a bullet train to Red Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
And so we know we're kind of getting to Red Dragon. But also the weird thing about this is we know that Red Dragon is the beginning of the book series.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't, this Hannibal people don't have, I'm just going to assume the show is going to continue. Let's just say we know that it's canceled on NBC now.
Yeah.
But I'm going to assume that there's more to do or that Brian Fuller had planned to do more.
Well, he had, yeah.
Okay, or he still may be able to do more. But
you're hanging on to hope is what you're saying.
I'm a believer. I'm a true believer. We know that, you know, it looks like the streaming dream is dead, but we still have some other options. But anyway, so...
Wait a minute. When did the stream dream die?
I think... I missed a tweet, but I think Brian tweeted out that Amazon and Netflix were like not happening.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
So he tweeted out that's not happening.
Hulu is still a chance.
Hulu is still a chance. So the stream dream is not totally dead. Stream dream. But
let's just shoot it here at AfterBuzz.
I got a sneaking, I got a prediction.
We'll pick it up.
I'll save it for later. I have a sneaking suspicion at the panel, the Hannibal panel on Saturday night at Comic-Con, which I will be at.
Okay.
They will announce
what's going to happen.
That they have a new home.
Okay.
And we'll, I know
is that, is that you should say that for predictions.
I will say that for predictions, but I'm just saying I know I have no inside information to this.
Where's Hannibal's home?
I do. Although Martha did email me and say I'll see you at the Hannibal.
Really?
But I'm not going to say.
Tweet out. Can you collide? Can you what is it? Kaleidoscope that tweet or a periscope?
Periscope. You get with the times, Grandma. Can you kaleidoscope that tweet? Yeah.
Can you send that to me?
I will periscope. If I'm at the Panable, I will periscope that joint.
Okay.
For sure.
I will retweet that.
I guess you can't retweet a periscope.
Can I? I don't know.
I don't know. All right, anyway, so what I'm getting to is that, like, I think it's really great what he's done with the canon here, because for those of you familiar with the book series, mm-hmm. you know Hannibal. In the book Hannibal, we're kind of in this whole last two episodes, I guess these three, this arc, mm-hmm. between, pretty much this season, this whole, like, sort of Florence, situation is very much what transpires in the book Hannibal and the movie Hannibal.
Mm-hmm.
But we've taken out Clarice Starling. Yep. Starling or Starling Hannibal?
It's Starling, I think.
We've taken out Clarice, and we've inserted Will back. We put Will and Jack in that place. Mm-hmm. It's kind of interesting the way they've done that. And we know from the book Hannibal, which is where pretty much Mason and Margot are introduced, mm-hmm. as far as I can remember correctly. Margot in the book is a lesbian, and the whole storyline is she's a lesbian who has been, abused and molested by her brother, and
mm-hmm.
and she's going to get him back by getting his sperm so she can take the this is the getting of the sperm universal
yeah universal getting of the sperm
yes. mm-hmm. So she can take over the family fortune. That's kind of the plot of the book. Mm-hmm. So they've kind of twisted that a little bit, but they let the lesbian part in, thank God.
Mm-hmm. And then she is going for a sperm too.
She is going for a sperm for yep. her own reasons. So I like the way Brian Fuller kept that intact and kind of twisted that a little bit. Then also there's a bit where the famous bit both in the movie and the book where Hannibal cuts off the top of the dude's head and, mm-hmm. and goes and eats his frontal lobe. And in the book, he feeds it to him and Clarice, who he uses psychotropic drugs on, which mm-hmm. is also a theme in this episode,
uh-huh.
to get Clarice to think that she's Misha. Yep. And Clarice doesn't really go for it, but he feeds him the brain anyway.
So that's what they were going at the end of the episode.
Yes. In the movie, they do the brain feeding scene, but
yep.
Clarice is not a part of it now because they thought that was too weird.
That was a scene with Ray Liotta, right?
Ray Liotta got his brain, yeah. So that was a thing. So here, Brian Fuller kept it because that was a big part of the whole Hannibal canon. You can have the pigs and Mason Verger, which we'll see next week.
Mm-hmm.
You can have, Margot and the lesbianism. You can have Florence, and you can have the Vincenzo. The disemboweling scene, which is in both the book and the movie.
Yep.
But you gotta have the brain eating scene.
Yep.
So they almost gave it to us with Will, but it didn't. So that was a cool way to sort of leave that part in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long way to go to say that Brian Fuller is very cleverly staying on canon, but being off canon. The question is, he's completely leapfrogged a lot of the Clarice stuff. So how will this continue after Red Dragon? Is my question, because we're doing Red Dragon.
So interesting.
So now we know we're not going into Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah.
Because so where do we go? And then, so I'm very interested to see when this is announced that they'll be renewed.
And it's interesting because I just recently saw Silence of the Lambs, and in Silence of the Lambs, mm-hmm. Professor who we've been calling Crap Weasel
Chilton.
Yes, is the main guy where Hannibal is being kept.
Yeah, and he still will be.
But
he's already trademarked Hannibal the Cannibal. I'm going to write the book.
Exactly. But the thing is, now we are now in the past where he's been completely shot in the face. Now, in Silence of the Lambs, do you see how there's kind yes. of like almost like a continuity issue there?
Yeah.
Or maybe he had reconstructive surgery, or maybe there was something, but that happened in the future where he had nothing wrong with his face and he was, just looking fine in the movie.
Well, like I said, I think it's interesting, Brian Fuller has certain parts of the canon and the story that he has Thomas Harris. He has certain things he can do
mm-hmm.
and certain things they can't do.
Yep.
So I think it's really just the Clarice storyline he can't mess with. All the other characters are his
mm-hmm.
to play with. So he's figured out a way to sort of play with Mason Verger and play with Florence.
Pepper
everything in there and maybe just skip the whole Silence of the Lamb piece. Maybe just skip Clarice.
Yeah.
So I think they've figured out a way to do all that. So that's good. But let's talk about this episode now that we're 13 minutes in. So this episode, we see, we finally get some stuff. So I want the first thing we see is actually Will. I'm sorry, we see
Bedelia.
Bedelia, bathing Hannibal for once, mm-hmm. and putting him together. And we get this sort of weird, very cool, seductive scene where they have a conversation about, you know, what Hannibal's intentions are.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, Bedelia seems to know, like, she was like, well, this is it. This is it. This is over. This is our last goodbye. Like, she has her end game in mind.
Right.
Hannibal didn't really see it going this way.
Right.
And, you know, that final scene between them was really eerie, that share of that final kiss. And she's like, you know, you'll get your chance to eat me, just not today.
Hey-o. Yeah.
You know, and then she goes, and we thought that she was shooting heroin. We weren't quite certain what she was doing. And then it was apparent when the door opened that she was intentionally drugging herself so then she could get plausible deniability.
Right.
That she, you know, maybe she's been drugged this whole time. She obviously doesn't know what's going on. She's completely convinced of the fact that she is not Bedelia, that she is, you know, the person that she's been pretending to be this whole time. And so, you know, I think it's very clever. I think that she's pulling it off really well.
Well, I think it's clever. And again, I already mentioned it. It's the same psychotropic cocktail that Hannibal gives Clarice in the book.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same psychotropic cocktail that Hannibal maybe gives Will at the end.
Yeah.
So the way they're weaving that, whatever that thing is, through the canon, I thought that was very clever. This whole notion that, like, I know you're going to eat me, is that the whole seductive, they've had this sort of, like, interesting sort of cat and mouse seductive game
mm-hmm.
of the metaphor. So now I've been asking the question, did they do it?
I think they did it last episode.
I'm convinced that they have not done it.
Oh, I think they did it last episode. Because
what evidence do you have that they did it?
The evidence that she was looking out the window.
She ate a snail? Big whoop.
She was looking out the window and he was like coming up. It looked like he was coming up out of the bed almost, but he was coming up and he had no shirt on and just pants on. It was just kind of it was almost the scene after you have sex and, you know, you get up, you fondly look out the window and you reminisce and then I think that Bedelia is talking her whole, you know, phrase and her verbiage about you'll get to eat me, just not today.
Huh?
I think that that was just her, you know, trying to entice Hannibal because now she knows how to push his buttons. She knows what turns him on and that was it. And so I think that they've had a connection. I think that they've been in a relationship for a while.
I respect that. I think that they have not had a connection. And the reason why I'm convinced of that is because I feel like this whole... You know, I feel like this their whole relationship has been this sort of like preamble to this big event,
mm-hmm.
which can either be read as it's all been this giant long sort of foreplay seduction leading up to this big event that you could construe as they're going to finally consummate this relationship by having sex,
mm-hmm.
but in reality they're going to consummate this relationship by Hannibal eating her, like. You know, eating her.
It's definitely a different type of relationship. I think, like, murdering somebody together would almost be consummating the relationship more because that's something that might turn on Hannibal more than just the act of sex.
But what we've seen is this whole, like, sort of back-and-forth seduction and him feeding her and him taking care of her.
Are you saying that if they actually did it, that would all go away?
No, what I'm saying is the intention was this whole sort of foreplay, like this extended Florence foreplay situation
mm-hmm.
was never sexual. It's metaphorically sexual, if you will, mm-hmm. but it's always with the intent of Hannibal really physically eating her.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that, like, by the end, when we got to the, you know, excuse me, but before we can get to that, they can consummate this relationship or get to the climax of this relationship,
mm-hmm.
They were almost there, and she's like, dude, I know that you've been... You were ready to eat me, so... And he's like, well...
Licking your chops.
He's like, I had to savor you. And also, all those scenes, if you look back at all those scenes where her feeding him and da-da-da, and him bathing her and, like, getting her ready, it's like, that's all, like, to get ready to eat.
Not to
have sex.
Interesting.
And so finally...
It's like he's marinating her.
Yes. And so finally she's like... And he's like, yeah, now's the time. And they did that really... slow kiss, and then she's like, not today. And it's almost like it's not going to happen because we were out of time. Either you're going to eat me right now, or it's over.
And then, of course, eat me can be referring to sex or a meal.
You lost me there.
But or a meal, but that's kind of like your,
exactly.
You know, it's all under the umbrella of seduction.
So how do you eat someone in sex? I don't understand.
I feel very...
Hannibal After Dark.
Yeah, right?
No, we are
in the studio kind of late tonight.
I don't know what you mean. I don't know what you mean by that. Anyway, but yeah, so that's that. So I think that was very clever and very interesting. Obviously, no one got eaten.
Sorry for all of your girlfriends.
I don't know what you mean.
What is that?
What is this thing? Anyway, so that whole thing, you know, happened, and that was, I think that was very clever. Bedelia then goes off, and then Hannibal goes off to go find Will, hope to meet a friend, which we know later to be Will, obviously. Mm-hmm. Bedelia goes off to get her alibi together, which is putting her psychotropic drugs together and doing her thing. Mm-hmm. But before that, we see the reunion of Jack and Will. Mm-hmm. And we finally get, like, to Joe Flippo's joy, we finally get to where Will is at. Uh-huh. You know, like, is Will, what the hell is Will doing? Where is he? Why is he going to join Hannibal? Is he going to kill Hannibal? Yeah. Is he going to kiss Hannibal? Yeah. What's going to happen? And Jack's kind of like, are you, like, basically it's the conversation as I took it was like, Will, have you come to your senses, Will? Like, mm-hmm. Are you okay? Yeah. And she's like, oh, and he's like, always a part of me is always going to want to be with him. It's like, well, you got to kill that part of you. We got work to do here.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I think that's exactly where Will was. I think Will's intention was to always go and kill Hannibal. But I think that his journey, as he said, was to really go deep inside Hannibal's brain and really understand what he is. And yeah. I think that the part of him that was confused about Hannibal being this and seduced by Hannibal, he had to really get inside to realize, this guy's a monster and I have to kill him.
But we still don't know if that makes any sense. We still don't actually know. Because when Hannibal and Will met at the museum, was that a museum?
Yes.
They met at the museum and they're walking down the street, and Chio has the scope on both of them and she's moving from one to the other, and then she spots the knife that is in Will's hand. We don't see if Will is actually going to use that knife. He grabs the knife, but Chio beats him to the punch and she shoots him in the shoulder. So the only thing is, like, would he have actually made that decision? Like, who would pull the trigger? You know,
I read that as differently. I read that as Chio. I read the scope on Hannibal is a bit of a mixed direction. The scope was always on Will. I read that as Chio is there sort of protecting. Chio is there protecting Hannibal to some degree, as Hannibal said. I think that when Chio saw the knife, she could have taken Will out. She could have headshotted him, but she shot him in the shoulder. I think that Will's intention was to kill him. I think that's pretty plain.
In the middle of the street?
Well, I don't think they were doing it. I think he's walking to make that happen. I think it was also very plain because Hannibal called him out. Like, I saw your element of forgiveness was in your hand.
Yeah.
You forgive like God forgives.
Yeah.
He's like, would you have been merciful or whatever? And he's like, I'm not God. So Will was going to kill him. Will's journey was, I know who this guy is. I'm coming to Florence. I'm ending this thing. I'm not taking him in. And Jack was kind of there to maybe follow Will, to hope Will. I mean, I don't know what Jack was there. Jack could have killed him, too. So I don't know if Jack's deal is, I'm going to kill him, too. I don't know. But
I think Jack was there to protect Will.
Yeah, but he had the hook out. He was going to take Hannibal out.
Yeah.
Hannibal's going to die that night. So Jack is trying to kill Hannibal, too. It's just this, who's going to get to Hannibal first, right? Mm-hmm. So all that stuff happened. And that was very interesting. And then we see Bedelia have a confrontation with Margot, and so with Chio, mm-hmm. where Chio comes to the door, and she's very calm and very sexy, by the way.
That was a great scene, the way they did that shot where they whipped around, where it was Bedelia in the chair, and you can't tell that Bedelia can see her in the mirror yet because you only see it from Bedelia's point of view. It's almost like she just sensed that somebody was behind her, and then they pull back and you can see that she actually can see Chio in the mirror with the gun.
And again, shout out to Vincenzo Natale, and I can't remember the DP of a man's name, but like, there's so many amazing shots, framing. Yeah. That shot where Will is sort of framed with that weird torture device inside of him.
Yeah, and it looks
Jack.
Like he's in it.
And there's like all that stuff with Chio, and there's so many beautifully like framed shots that were quite amazing. That was one of them, and that scene was great. And Chio, I mean, I like how she didn't have a pistol. She comes with a full-blown rifle, like, what's up to the door? Like, hey, Bedelia, what's up?
Ding dong.
Hey, is Hannibal home? She's got this, you know, scope rifle here.
And what did Bedelia say? She was like, I used to think that Will was going to be Hannibal's demise. Yeah. Now I fear that you are.
Well, it's, I don't think it's demise. I think she said something about biggest mistake or biggest
something.
Here's what we talked. We touched on this last week. I'm so amazed at Hannibal's seductive powers, which is now I realize is sort of written into the novel and written into the whole canon of Hannibal. Mm-hmm. Because obviously at the end of the book, Hannibal, him and Clarice like run off to and become lovers. Like, so, which obviously they changed for the movie because that wouldn't have played with, that's dumb Americans. But like, but the point is like Hannibal always wins. Hannibal seduces, mm-hmm. He seduced Will and had Will. He seduced Clarice. He seduced Bedelia. He seduced Jack. Jack was on his side. Chio was on the side. Like he all these people. Abigail. There's a long list of people who come into contact with Hannibal and know exactly what he is and they're still, all in on this guy. So
Alana as well.
Alana Bloom, we talked about this last week, dickmatized, you know. Yep.
How does he inspire such devotion? That's what Bedelia said to Chio.
Yeah,
how does he inspire such devotion? And that is a great question. I was talking about this earlier, is it's a slippery slope when you create a character that is as mesmerizing as Hannibal, and then you have all these characters around him. You know, how do you make these characters still strong and not just seem like they're weak, easy to manipulate? These are all very strong characters that he has captured under his spell.
Well, part of the brilliance of the character that Thomas Harris created and kind of the way that Mads plays him, at least, and even the way that Anthony Hopkins plays him, is there's a certain, he has a certain seductive quality hit to him, and it's almost like the devil himself. I mean, the devil himself is, it seduces you and has all these qualities of getting you on his side, but he's also pure evil, allegedly. Mm-hmm. I think that Hannibal is the personification of evil, but also almost the personification of the devil himself. This guy who, is this super charming, super brilliant, super amazing cook, artistic, all these other things.
Therapist.
You get close to him.
Yeah.
He gets inside your head. He's a wonderful guy, but he will also consume you, literally.
Yeah.
So I think the metaphor is not, it's pretty literal here, but it's pretty spot on the nose that Hannibal is the devil. Mm-hmm. That's sort of like, I mean, that's not my revelation. I think that's how, I'm assuming this is how Thomas Harris created him. This is certainly how Mads is playing him and how I think Brian Fuller is sort of writing him. And mm-hmm. because everybody he touches in this entire show, with the exception, name one person who hasn't been to the Crap Weasel. And that one person who has been sort of seduced by Hannibal Lecter.
Even somebody like Crap Weasel, who absolutely, you can absolutely hate him, and yet you are drawn to be, even Mason Verger. It's like he is almost looking to become what he hates. Like he's going to eat Hannibal. He's going to essentially do what he does.
Yeah.
We
still can't get the word transmogrification. Transcendentalmogrification.
Body of Christ.
Okay. yes, but so that's it. So anyway, that I think that's
transubstantiation.
Transubstantiation.
Is that it?
Thank you. That's exactly it. Thank you. We have no computers here. We're tech free. We're going pads.
Notepads. Hello.
Look at that. I mean, this writing is awful. All right. So that's that. So yeah. So that was interesting. So then we kind of jump over to what's happening in the States with Mason, the whole Mason, Margot, Alana thing. And I've been wondering, like, what is the deal with Alana? She's got the updo. She's like evil Alana with the goatee and the eye patch.
Looking a little Wednesday Addams. Like, she her skin's a little lighter. Her lips are a little darker.
And Julia kept saying, like, I'm laughing now, but like, Julie kept going with the whole bone marrow thing. Like, well, it changed her bone marrow. It changed the way she thought.
I think that
it's
she
the
was,
bone marrow.
It's true. I think something happened when they mentioned it, but ever since then, she's been absolutely right. It was since that moment that she's been completely different.
Yeah, but the point is that we were led to believe that she has gone completely rogue and is on Mason's side, when it is in fact revealed that she is only slightly rogue. She's kind of doing, a deep, deep, deep cover job, and basically getting in deep, and then once
getting in deep, getting with, in deep with Margo.
but getting doing a deep cover job, and then once Hannibal is there, then she calls the FBI, and then everyone's fine. That's her end game.
Yeah.
So that sort of like redeems Alana from this evil Alana who's got all poisoned by her bone marrow, whatever Julia was saying, and then now who's actually just you know, having some lesbian sex and waiting for Hannibal, mm-hmm. which I'm totally fine with either way. Because I'm a big fan
of the lesbian sex.
Of Miss DeVardis and lesbian sex. So, but we did get this, you know, very cringe-inducing, awful, you know,
Are you going to talk about that scene on the bed?
Well, we have to talk about it because it speaks to, again, all this is in the book Hannibal.
Yeah.
The whole Mason Verger, Margot thing, the whole Mason Verger character is just like,
he's creepy.
Creepy and gross. And he got it to him in season two. And then.
Now he's talking about having children with his family member.
Well, I mean, in the book, you know, obviously he molests Margot. I think that happens in the show too. They you know, so that's a thing. So, but the idea of like, I wanted to have kids with you, Margot. You and I should have had kids. I took your uterus. Why did I take your uterus? We could have had some kids. Boom. Like, yeah, brother. Thanks, brother. Yeah, and I don't know when he turned into, like...
Could you imagine him having...
See?
Kids?
Yeah. I'm Mason Verger.
That's what you turned it into.
That's my invitation.
I should have kids.
Yeah.
But it's... Could you imagine him having a child, though? He would scare the crap out of that little kid.
He's going to take some classes.
He's going to...
He said, I can take some parental classes.
I've got some viable sperm.
Yeah. Which, all of that. It's so many things I didn't want to hear. Yeah. I don't want to hear about Mason Verger's viable sperm. I don't want to hear about him having sex with his sister.
Come sit on Santa's lap.
Oh, come on.
That's what he was saying. All that stuff that was in this show.
But, you know, I got all that. So, again, you know, yay for... between Game of Thrones and Bates Motel... And another show recently we saw, Incest, is taking over television.
Incest
is the new.
What other show has incest in it?
A little show called Bates Motel. Mm. You ever hear that?
No, but you said, and some
Game
other
of Thrones?
Show.
Don't say you don't watch Game of Thrones.
I won't say that then.
Okay. And, okay.
There's Lola laughs.
There's a show called Game of Thrones. It's on HBO. It's pretty good.
You know, oysters, clams, and cockles.
Yes. We gotta look into it. Anyway, so enough of the incest. So that happened. But then, as we talked about, it's we got the very cool reveal that Margot is with Alana. Now, are we to presume, because we know from the books that Margot is a lesbian? I can't remember if that's been revealed in season two. Did they talk about? I don't know if they talk about Margot being a lesbian.
Definitely been revealed now. If it wasn't revealed, well,
Margot's
in season
a lesbian
two.
Season in the book, but I don't know if it's revealed in season two. But so we know Margot's a lesbian. But this Alana stuff is Alana like just having some fun? Is Alana is she?
No,
is this part of her deep cover mission?
She's on a mission. Yeah,
this is part of her deep cover to get Margot.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if she's a lesbian or not, but I do think that I don't think that she's having sex with Margot because she's attracted to her. I think she's having sex with her so she can get her on her side to do what she wants to do.
I would love to believe she's having sex with Margot because she's attracted to her.
But I don't think that that's the reason.
Okay, well, I would love to believe it.
Okay.
And I think that's the reason. So there.
Tell us what you think. Write in with your comments.
so that happened, and that so now we know Margot's attracted. We talked about that already. So then we did speak on the Bedelia and Chio situation
a little bit. Yeah, right? I mean, I think they talked about being a caged bird. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of a lot of metaphors there, and then I think that the main line in that was, "How does he inspire such devotion?" I think that that was that was the kind of like the meat and potatoes of that scene. And then Chio kind of went off to go do her thing and look over and find Hannibal and
Overwatch. She's on Overwatch with a sniper rifle.
Atta girl.
Like Call of Duty.
And how did, let me ask you a question. This is something that one of those just continuity things. Mm-hmm. How did Will know where Hannibal was going to be?
What do you mean? Like
because he's in front of the
painting, that's his thing. Like that's where he's gonna be. Like that's what his, I can't remember the painting now. Where's Flippo? And it's driving me nuts. No computer, but he's in front of the Primavera.
Is that where?
Yeah,
I just didn't know where they were gonna. They're like they knew what they had a spot where they were gonna meet.
No. He's where he always was, which is he's nonstop. This is what Potsy said. That he saw him sketching perfectly this painting. And this whole season, half season, has been about, all of Florence has been about his obsession with this painting.
Oh, and so that's where it was.
Yeah.
I can't believe I missed that.
You watching?
I am watching. Okay. I am watching.
But
that's the thing about the show. It's like you can there's so many things. It's like you can definitely, you know, take your eyes off for a second and you can miss something.
Right. So that all happens. And then so we finally get the reunion of Will and Hannibal. And that reunion was pretty cool because, you know, two old friends getting back together. They're both all jacked up. Apparently, Julia was right. I mean, Chio did push him off the train. Mm-hmm. That did happen. It was just sort of, we were kind of wondering last week, was it that really happened? It felt a little sort of.
Why did Chio push him off the train?
She's protecting Hannibal now.
Yeah, but she can protect Hannibal and not. I mean, she just. I don't know. I just thought that was. When I saw that, I didn't think it was real.
Right.
I thought it was very like he just woke up. He was really groggy. He had had a vision before that wasn't real, and he went to go find her.
All Joe's points.
Yeah, and he went to go find her, and then she throws him off of a train.
Right.
You know. I mean, why? Yeah. I just think that. You know. I don't know.
Hey, man, write your own show.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Maybe I will.
No. So obviously that happened, and
not even a
really,
broken rib.
Not a broken rib.
Not even a broken rib.
But you know, he did a full flip and landed perfectly, so yep. That was cool. It happens. But anyway, his meeting with Hannibal, they're both messed up. They had this cool thing, and they're genuinely happy to see each other.
They are. And
genuinely, like, you know, whatever. But Will is very much like, it's just a great conversation and a great exchange, mm-hmm. with Will sort of saying, like, I just had to know who you were. Now I know who you are. Mm-hmm. It's all over. And they had this great exchange. And then
you and I begin to blur, I think. That was a good line.
Which is what happened at dinner when, mm-hmm. you know, when they saw what was going on. Yeah. It's a good personification of that.
And then after, when he was kind of cleaning up. So they
leave and they go to walk him, and Chio takes him out. And then Hannibal, instead of like, Chio does not kill him. Mm-mm. Hannibal does not kill him.
Nope.
Hannibal takes him. And it makes you wonder if that was some sort of plan by Chio or not, but I don't know. I mean, in terms of keeping him alive for Hannibal.
Chio can't kill, remember?
Ew.
Remember, Chio can't kill. That's why she never killed that guy.
That's right.
And then Will made her kill him.
Oh.
And so Chio, I don't think Chio wants to kill or doesn't desire to kill, but she does desire to protect Hannibal. So that's, I mean,
so that's,
I think
her, that's always been her sort of mission, is to protect and do his bidding.
Yes.
I love that bit, like, how's Chio? How is that Chio?
Yeah.
She threw me off a train. Atta girl.
Atta girl,
yeah. That was kind of a funny exchange. It was a laugh out loud moment.
Atta girl. But I think that Hannibal was absolutely genuine when he's kind of cleaning up the wound in this nurturing way, when he's like, I wish I could have shown you Florence.
Yeah.
Like, I really wanted to. Like, you know, it sucks that we're going to have to kill each other, but I wish I could have shown you Florence.
And also, it's also interesting that they had that bit where he's sketching with Bedelia and he's sketching Florence. She's like, I want to remember it. I want to remember it. And she's like, yeah, you're not going to see it for a long time.
Yep.
And I can't remember if in Silence of the Lambs or one of the movies, he's always sketching.
He was doing it in Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah.
He was sketching. He had a whole bunch of drawings that he was sketching. And he was like, there was that famous line. He's like, the only, you know, memories that I have are in here.
Yeah.
So, and then later in the movie, you see him doing all the sketches of Clarice.
Yeah, yeah.
So
that's, I think that was kind of a cool, another cool callback. So he brings Will back. Everything's fine. And they then... he sets them up for dinner, which is this. Now I know it's all coming. Like, oh, this is the famous dinner scene he had with Clarice, where they eat the brain, mm-hmm. and they set everyone up, and also a redo of what they tried to do with Jack. I like that he set that place up for Jack again. Speaking to what I said last week about Hannibal always being five steps ahead of everyone,
mm-hmm.
and also being able to cover his tracks. Well, mm-hmm. he kind of saw this coming, so he knew Jack was coming.
Mm-hmm.
So he had Jack
And they
ready.
Were at the house. So he is now that he's left the place where he and Bedelia reside, he is at the house of the guy who...
Yes. I think it's the head stabby guy.
The head stabby guy.
What's his name, Flo?
Soliato.
Soliato, yes.
Soliato.
No, wait. Soliato is not the head stabby. Oh, yeah. He is his head. Soliato's the a-hole...
Soliato is the guy with the ice pick in his head.
Yes, okay.
Yeah.
Who's also the sort of the loudmouth a-hole, guy who just the super rude.
So now, I mean, he's nobody's using his place now. Let's go there.
Which also, we should jump back to Bedelia getting questioned, and in that moment where the corrupt we now know it's corrupt agent. That was kind of a cool moment when he's like, am I to assume at this moment you're not working?
You know? Well, and it's so funny because Bedelia is obviously drugged and obviously trying to, you know, but she seems very...
She's still a little lucid.
She's very quick. She knows what she's doing. She understands what's going on. It's like, this guy is crooked and he's, you know, this isn't about me being a cop right now.
But she's also very, 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 like, careful, chooses her words carefully, he chooses his words carefully. I like that kind of bit where it's like, I love those kind of scenes, by the way. I love those kind of scenes where it's like,
you know, a standoff.
Well, no, the idea of like, you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. I know what I'm talking about. I don't have to say it, but like, why don't you tell me what's that? Like, he says, whatever he says is something like, you know, it's like, you don't, it's your choice how this ends. Either you could be rescued, you know, or you could be imprisoned or whatever. And so then she says, well, Hannibal's going to go somewhere where no one expected him to be.
Yeah, I don't want to be seen as uncooperative.
Yeah, I love those scenes. Well,
he's like, well, you determine whether how you're being seen.
And I'm like, no one's recording this, guys. Just start yapping.
Yeah.
You know, but anyway. So, but clearly she tells him, and clearly it leads, you know, he's led to...
That's how Mason
gets it. Yeah. He's a bad guy.
Yeah. So he gets his $3 million and Mason gets his...
Yes, gets his two people.
His Hannibal. Now, Mason only wanted Hannibal. He had no desire for Will.
I don't think so.
But Will was just a bonus.
Yeah, but Will's there.
What did he do with Jack then?
I don't know. I don't know where Jack is. And this is the other thing with the whole canon. I think Jack dies of a heart attack, I think, in the books. So I wonder...
The whole episode, I thought Jack was going to die, and you even mentioned.
But everyone keeps saying like Jack's going to die. I'm like, Jack doesn't die here. Jack's around for Red Dragon. Like Jack can't die. But now I'm like, well, that's what the canon. Maybe Jack's going to die now and go be the grandpa in Blackish. So I don't know. But I just thought like Jack's around in all of Red Dragon. Yeah. So
well, maybe that's something that they'll unfold later. Like maybe Jack escaped.
Yeah.
Because he was on different medication that they gave. Than Will was on.
Nothing like a sliced Achilles. So anyway, we should talk about that. He comes in the room. Jack is there. Sees Chio in the elevator. Chio knows where he's going. Like, sees the gun, but yet Chio doesn't do anything. She's supposed to be protecting him. And to quote Seven and Brad Pitt, what's in the box?
Wait a minute. That's a really good point. We don't know where Chio went. Maybe Chio's the reason. Like, Chio just disappeared after that.
She's like, oh, wrong floor. And she like,
yeah, and then she goes,
ghosted out.
She, like, goes downstairs. Like, she knows where she's going, right?
And what's in the box?
What was in the box?
I don't know. Chio's holding the box. Her rifle.
Oh, yeah, that rifle. Yeah.
The rifle's in the box.
Yep.
All right.
So Chio disappeared. Jack gets his Achilles sliced.
Kind of a small box for the rifle.
No, she puts it together.
Oh, I see.
Jack gets his Achilles sliced. Then he's in the chair being drugged.
Right.
And then all of a sudden you cut to that amazing shot where Hannibal starts to...
Yeah, we've all been trying to get inside his brain. Now we're all going to see what it is. Here we go.
And they shoot with the blood is actually like projecting upwards really slowly. They take that droplet of blood and the reflection.
And then the blood, like, you know, blood spatter towards the thing. I mean,
and then next thing you know, you're going and then you see
so
a shot
blood.
Of them upside down with the pigs.
Right.
And Mason Verger is here. Now, I'm really excited for next episode.
Yes. Well, if we know the Hannibal movie and the Hannibal book, we know how this kind of happens. We know what happens here, but it'll be interesting to see how they play this out because they've been tweaking the can a little bit. And shout out to my man, Cordell. Like, that guy. That guy's down for his...
Oh, is that the guy that made all the tasting things?
Yes.
The chef.
Yeah.
Where Mason has his, like, tasting of potential, like...
And like, that one tastes bad.
Yeah. This one's going to be your fingers.
And by the way, thank you, Hannibal, but no thank you for that weird, like, life-size Hannibal Lecter, glazed Hannibal Lecter. Like, they had that shot of, like, of Mason Verger sort of imagining what it would be like to eat Hannibal.
Yeah.
And, of course, in his imagination, he's walking around. Yeah. He's like, and he's, like licking, Hannibal glaze. I'm like,
Like, do you think that they'll actually be that satisfying eating the person that you hate that much?
And in his mind, if he's walking around, why isn't his face all...
Better.
Why does it look like Michael Pitt?
That's actually a really good point.
Yeah.
Why in your fantasies would you be the perfect?
Are you still like one? Meh. See?
Oh, Virgia.
All right. There it is. And yeah, don't need to see the ham glazed ham. I think that's it for my notes. Let's see. Gross. At a girl. lesbian. Cornell.
You have the handwriting of a 5-year-old child, by the way.
Transmogrification.
Transubstantiation?
Yes, I wrote that down. okay.
Dinner for three.
That's right. I was very sad. There was a moment where I was sort of feeling very sad for Hannibal. And there's a moment when realizing it was over, I sort of feeling like, I did have a moment of like, oh, poor Hannibal.
When was this?
This is early on when he's drawing. He's like, this is all I'll have.
Oh, after he's been beat up?
Yeah, and then when he's back, when he's drawing Florence, I thought, like, this poor guy. I'm like, what am I thinking? Poor Hannibal.
And that's the brilliance, when you can feel sympathy.
Got me too.
Yeah, you've been Hannibalized.
All right, that's it.
Hannibal hypnotized.
Or dickmatized.
Hannibal dickmatized.
I think that's all I got.
Yeah, don't ask me about predictions, because I don't know.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Julia's not here for me to pick on her, so I need you to have a prediction for me.
Well, I mean, we know where this is going. He's going to be with the pigs, and he's going to be, you know, I actually think that Jack and Chio escaped together, or Chio helped Jack escape, and I think that's why Jack's not there. Okay. I think that something happened. I think that there's actually probably a good chunk of stuff that happened. Like, I think there's probably just some juicy stuff that happened that they didn't show us, and they cut right to the scene where Mason got. And I think they're going to go back and show that. And I think that's why Jack's not there. And I think that Alana's endgame is going to be revealed to Mason very soon.
Hmm. Okay. I think so, too. So let me back this up. Julia and I were both wrong. Julia had...
What was her prediction?
Well, Julia had Chio killing Bedelia. I had Bedelia killing Chio, and we're both wrong. They have a confrontation. Oh. We're like, here we go! And then we're both wrong.
Oh.
They seem to be both okay. Mm-hmm. You kind of know how this ends. I mean, I'm not going to give a spoiler alert about what happens to Mason and Hannibal, but they are tweaking with the canon a little bit. But I think that Alana's I don't know what's going to happen to Alana. I'm really confused. I'm so confused.
You think
about
Alana's going
to
die?
Well, this part of me feels like Alana's going to be the one to help Hannibal escape.
Yeah, I get that feeling too. It's really interesting because now that you know that she's not, like, she's on her own, right?
Yeah.
She's not with Mason. She's not with, I mean, I think that Hannibal and Will are going to help each other escape. And they're going to be bonded again. And I think maybe, you know, not want to kill, get in a point where there's not mended, but they are not going to want to kill each other. Like, this is definitely an opportunity for them to grow their relationship.
Right. Now, Alana slept with Will, right?
Pretty
sure she did.
I think. Wait a minute. Alana slept with Hannibal.
For 100%.
Right?
But I think she slept with Will, too.
Hmm. I don't know. I'm going to have to go back and watch
season 2. I'm thinking
about the
scene where it's like Margo, Hannibal, and Will, and Alana's like, did y'all?
What kind of show are you thinking of? You're like, threesome.
No, I'm not saying they're going to do it. I'm just saying that Alana can say, had sex with you, had sex with you, had sex with you. Don't want to have sex with you, Mason. Jack, what are you doing tonight? Like, that's kind of I don't know.
Your wife's dead.
This is a bad place to go.
You want to end the show.
It's 12:20 a.m. and the West Coast. All right, let's call this a day. Dua Casey, where can the kids find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Dua Casey. That's DuaKaissi on the Twitters.
On the Twitters. You can find Julia at Julia Carely on Twitter and Instagram. You can find Joe Sanfilippo at Joe Flippo on Twitter only, and also on his website, josephsanfilippo.com.
If you're very bored.
You can find... Shots fired at my man. He deserves it, too. You can find me at Joe K. Braswell on Twitter, Instagram, and Periscope, and maybe Vine. If that still happens.
I will be getting an Instagram account soon, I promise, guys.
All right, maybe
I'm
2016.
Yeah.
All right, thanks, guys, for joining us. Thanks for all your comments and everything else and joining us on iTunes and YouTube. And
yes,
keep the comments coming, and we love you. We will see you after Comic-Con next week. Bye-bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network.
To watch or listen to other After shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.